Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. We ended the last show discussing the idea of getting rid of your credit cards. Over the weeks and months, we've established a debt repayment plan, and you may find it easier to get out of debt with that. On the other hand, you may need to think about another danger that really faces anyone who is working his or her way out of debt, and that's backsliding. In the past, you have promised yourself you wouldn't take on any new debt, and you meant it. And yet, seeing the advertisement for a weekend getaway after 54 straight days of frozen slush, for example, that can weaken the resolve of even the most determined person. If you struggle with or just worry about backsliding, then make the big step. Get rid of the credit cards. Melt them over the stove. Take out the pruning shears and cut them to little bits. Fold them back and forth until they pop apart. Once your debt is paid off, call Visa or MasterCard and tell them to cancel your account. You can't afford those cards. A credit card in your wallet is the surest path to backsliding. Whenever you find it a little tough to stay the course, there is the card. Whenever you face temptation, there is the card. It sits there in your wallet, constantly reminding you that you don't have to deny yourself. You can always take on just a little more debt and get whatever you want. You have lived with the consequences, though, of credit cards. You have paid the price, and the best way to make sure you never pay it again is to take the cards out of your wallet. You have nothing to lose and a lot to gain. But of course, you'll ask the question, don't you need a credit card? Not really. You may be worried about repairing your credit, and you may think a credit card is the best way to accomplish that. Not so. Want to build your credit line? Mail a check for your phone bill. Pay down your student loan. Make your car payments on time. Actually, according to some studies, making car payments on time is the best way to build a healthy credit rating. You can also build up your savings. In short, do all the things you should be doing anyway to build toward a lifetime of riches, but don't keep using the credit cards. They don't improve your credit, they cost you a lot of money, and if you are not extremely careful, they can leave your credit rating worse than before. Well, what about the things that you can get only with a credit card, like renting a car, buying over the internet, or ordering from a catalog? Well, what you can do is get a debit card that takes money right out of your bank account. It will cover most of what you need. And for the rest, you can always use a credit card to reserve a hotel room or secure a car rental, and then pay the tab in cash. So now let's review a little bit about the top myths about credit cards. Myth number one is credit cards are a good way to keep track of what you spend. Well, the fact is, credit cards make it really easy to lose track of how much you spend and what you can actually afford. Another myth is it's easy to use credit cards without getting in trouble. Well, the fact is, the credit card company hires thousands of savvy business people whose sole job is to get you in trouble. Almost no one outsmarts them forever. Then there's the myth of you need a credit card to build your credit. The fact is, credit cards are more likely to get you in trouble and ruin your credit. Paying your bills on time is the best way to build your credit. Another myth is it's smart to use credit cards because you get frequent flyer miles. The fact is, most frequent flyer miles never even get used. With the fees and interest credit cards charge, you are better off buying your own ticket. Another myth is credit cards are a smart way to pay your other bills automatically. Well, what's the fact? The fact is, you aren't paying your bills. You are just shifting from one outstanding bill to another, usually with higher interest rates. Another myth is credit cards are a good way to donate to your favorite group. Well, factually, most credit card companies give only a tiny fraction of what you charge to the charity you designate. Get your money in balance and write your own check directly to your favorite charity. And then another final is if you get approved for a higher limit, you can afford to spend that much. Well, the fact is, credit card companies want you to charge more than you can afford. That's how they make their money. Now, those are just some of the myths that are samples of the total myths regarding credit cards. After decades of looking at them and just seeing how they have impacted on people's lives in a negative way, we know that credit cards are not a good thing. But can you keep a card for emergencies? In short, we're not fanatics. One credit card may be okay for emergencies, but it is important to be crystal clear on what qualifies as an emergency. When someone is in the hospital, when your boss hands you a pink slip and you need to put food on the table, or when you need to get to your grandmother's funeral, those are emergencies. And that's pretty much it. Christmas is not an emergency. Soccer shoes are not an emergency. A 2-for-1 sale is not an emergency. In-laws coming to town unexpectedly is not an emergency. And so on and so forth. If you keep your card for emergencies, it has to be for real, honest to goodness emergencies. Then how do you make sure that you never ever slip up? Make it really hard to use the card. Bury it in a canister in the backyard. Stick the card in a tub of water and put it in the freezer. You'll have to wait for a block of ice to melt before you can use the card. That's an Elizabeth Warren specialty. Get a big adhesive label, write "for emergency only" on it and stick it in front of the card so you'll have to peel the label off to use the card. Pick some creative method, but whatever method you choose, the point is to force yourself to ask one more time, is this a real emergency? If it isn't, then put the card away. Spending is over. If you are not sure you will be able to resist temptation, then just as we said, scissor all the cards up and throw them away. You will build up plenty of savings as part of your balanced spending plan, so you will be able to manage life's little crises without the cards. And besides, if anything ever goes very, very wrong, remember this, there will always be someone trying to sign you up for another credit card. But you are working hard to get out of debt. Make it easy on yourself. Take those cards out of your wallet. And I'll return after a station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I am speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, what about living debt-free? Some people can get their spending into balance pretty quickly, but paying off the old bills may still be tough. As one client said, it wasn't so much that it was hard to write the checks. With the balance thing, I had the money. The hard part was seeing how stupid I was. She described how she would walk around her apartment and see some little trinket. I am still paying for this stupid glass paperweight, and I don't even like it. How dumb is that? And there were moments when she got discouraged, thinking that no matter how much she paid, she would never get out of the hole. After 5 months, however, her Citibank balance was paid in full. 4 months later, the Capital One balance was gone, and a month after that, she finished paying off the Gap card. In 14 months, she was debt-free. That debt was like a bad tooth that just keeps aching. It hurt so long, I just learned to live with it. It wasn't till it was gone that I knew life didn't have to feel that way. When she made the last payment, she called her mom and dad and asked them out to dinner. She took them back to the same place where they had been on Mother's Day a little over a year earlier. They had a good time, laughing about pictures of Cousin's new puppy and talking about a trip her folks were planning. When the check came, Monica swooped it up again. Her mom looked at her, a smile frozen on her lips. No one said anything. Just as an aside, when we spoke about this before, Monica tried to use her credit cards and they all were rejected. Well, this time Monica pulled out three $20 bills. She saw her mother's face relax into a genuine smile. I'm a cash-only girl now. I don't owe a cent to anyone, and that's the way it's going to stay. They sat in silence for a bit. Mom smiled and patted her hand, and her pop said, "You are one tough cookie." Well, her dad doesn't say much, so that felt really good. In short, paying off debt can be tough. It takes hard work and discipline and a real dedication to your own future. But Monica was right. This may be the most feel-good step you can take. Getting these debts paid off will change your whole outlook, making each step a little lighter. As you pull out of debt, you are building a firm foundation to start building some serious riches. And that's where the real fun will begin. So now we'll move into building your dreams a little at a time. Until now, we have asked you to keep your feet firmly planted on the ground and your eye trained on the bottom line. No idle daydreams, no trips into things will work out somehow territory. The first priority was to get very clear about how to take control over your spending and get your money in balance. And now it's time to reward yourself for all that hard work. It is time to dream. In short, this is the very last step. Step 6, in all your worth. And of course, the one that's the most fun. This step will consider all things you need to save for and all the things you want to save for. Saving to buy a home, saving for retirement, saving to give a generous donation to your favorite charity, saving for a rainy day, saving to sail around the world or to send your kids to college or to buy a new Harley Davidson. When you finish this sixth step, you will have a comprehensive roadmap to a richer, more secure future. And the way it happens is a little at a time. For instance, how do you eat a huge meal? One bite at a time. How do you make a long trip? 1 mile at a time. How do you build a house? One brick at a time. You wouldn't say, "I can't possibly eat the whole meal," or "I'll never get to Milwaukee." You would just keep at it one step at a time and not think much more about it. Okay, you already know all of this, so here's the next question. How do you get $500,000? Here's a hint. The answer is not win the lottery or inherit a bundle from a long-lost uncle. No. The answer is that you will get $500,000 by saving a little at a time. Save and keep on saving, and you'll make it sooner than you think. Gradual savings is not the stuff of the 6 o'clock news. A lifetime of riches, nightly news style, comes when you strike oil in the backyard or when you discover a Picasso stashed in your attic. According to the evening news, riches are like lightning, an accident that just happens when you are standing around thinking about what to fix for dinner. The nightly news version holds that steady saving has little to do with getting rich. Somewhere deep in your heart, you may be thinking that if you didn't win the lottery or stumble upon a diamond mine, wealth will never come your way. What we're telling you here is that that is just plain wrong. Savings, the kind that happens bit by bit, doesn't make the news because it is common, not because it is rare. Folks all over America are doing it, and you can do it. It isn't hard, it isn't rare, and it can add up to a whole lot of money. Elizabeth Warren tells the story of her Uncle David. He tells a story about when he started selling airplanes as a young man. Even 30 years ago, private planes were mostly the toys of well-to-do doctors and company presidents. But David's first sale was to a department store clerk, a man who fell in love with flying when he was a pilot in the Air Force. After he left the service, he married and had a family and took a job selling appliances. And through it all, he saved a little each week, tossing all his change and sometimes a few bucks into a big mayonnaise jar. When the jar was full, he carried it down to the bank, counted it all out, got a money order, and mailed the money order to his mutual fund. Then he took the empty jar home and filled it up again. Sometimes the trips were a few weeks apart, sometimes a few months, but he kept on going. And when he came to see her Uncle David, the store clerk bought a brand new airplane for cash. Last they heard, he was still flying it. So how far can you go? You may still not be persuaded that you can build that mansion one brick at a time. Maybe the math will convince you. Suppose you earn $50,000 a year. Now suppose you keep your money in balance, setting aside 20% of every paycheck for your future and investing it carefully. And we'll talk about that later. In 15 years, you will have more than $250,000. In 25 years, you'll have nearly $1 million. That's right, $1 million in 25 years. Not bad, huh? And I will go into this in detail after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you're listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So let's look at this in detail. How much can you save? So your annual income is one issue. The 20% of estimated after-tax income is the savings issue. And then the amount you will save in 25 years is the third category. And this will assume an average 12% annual return, same as U.S. stock market long-term. To keep the example simple, it doesn't adjust for taxes or inflation, which may overstate your real returns. But on the other hand, the example also assumes that your income doesn't increase by a single dollar in the next 25 years. In all likelihood, your income will increase, and as your income grows, the amount you invest will at least keep pace with inflation or better. So, for example, your annual income being $30,000, which leaves $4,320 after tax savings. In 25 years, you will have $576,000. If your annual income was $40,000, the savings would be $5,760, and in 25 years, you would have $768,000. At $50,000 a year, which leaves $7,200 a year in savings, in 25 years, you would have $960,000. If you were to make $60,000 a year, your savings would be $8,600 a year. leaving $1,152,000 in 25 years. At $70,000 a year, you'd be saving $10,000 a year. And after 25, you'd have $1,344,000 saved. At $80,000, you would save $11,520 a year, which after 25 years would be a savings of $1,536,000. At $90,000 a year, you would save $12,960 per year, and after 25 years, you would have $1,728,000. And a final example is $100,000 income per year, saving $14,400 per year at 20%, and with the 12% annual return, you would have $1,920,000 in savings. These savings numbers look big. They are. Once you begin to add to your savings, the effects of compound interest begin to kick in. Your savings produce interest, and that interest becomes more savings. After a while, the interest on your money is working harder than you are, pulling in interest and dividends faster than you invest every month. And that's all because you started saving a little at a time. If you've been following this course in All You're Worth, then the hardest part is now behind you. You have already made the tough cuts to make room for a lifetime of savings, so all you need to do is to reap the reward. It's time for all that hard work, getting your must-haves into balance and your fun spending under control, to pay off, because you now have the money to save for your future. You have already earmarked 50% or so for must-haves and another 30% for wants. And so you have 20% of your paycheck left over at the end of every month, ready to save. That's 20%, your 24 tomorrow, will become the cornerstone of your lifetime savings plan. Savings is not like the other parts of the balanced money plan. For your must-haves, the balanced money rule is that so long as you cover your necessities, like your home payment, and keep your expenses under 50%, you can spend the money on whichever must-haves you want. If you want a nicer apartment and a beat-up old car, that is okay. Likewise, if you prefer a hot car and a tiny apartment, that is okay too. And the wants are even more open. You can spend the money on anything under the sun, so long as you stay under the limit. But savings are different. If you put your money in the wrong place, if you invest poorly, or you don't put something aside for retirement, you can wind up shortchanging your future. In order to make the most of your savings, you need to follow certain guidelines. It's not okay to say just go with the flow and do whatever you want with your savings. So what we'll do now is look at the four stages of your lifetime savings plan. These stages will help you make smart decisions so you can make the most of your savings and start building some real wealth. In summary, the lifetime savings plan is, in stage one, you save $1,000. In stage two, you pay off steal from tomorrow debt. In stage three, you build a six-month security fund. And in stage four, you are building a lifetime of wealth. That essentially is in layers of saving for retirement, paying off your house if you have a house, and saving for your other dreams. Essentially, this is sequential. The four stages are designed to be taken one at a time. You may fly through some stages and spend several months in others. That's perfectly fine. These stages are designed to help everyone, no matter where you start, so take as long as you need to get through them. Stage four, the final stage, is designed to help you build savings for the rest of your working life, so you will be in this stage for a very long time. Now let's break that up. Looking at stage one, saving $1,000. Your lifetime savings plan starts with $1,000. We've spoken about this before. That's it, just $1,000. If you already have $1,000 in the bank, then congratulate yourself. You've already made it through the first stage in your lifetime savings plan and not even mussed your hair. You're ready to fly on to stage two. If, however, your bank account runs towards empty, then it's time to concentrate all your energy on getting that first brick into place. Put some extra attention here. Hold a garage sale. Sell off your CD collection and put your ski equipment on eBay. Cash in the bottles and cans. Offer to work an extra shift and put every dollar of your 24 tomorrow toward getting that $1,000 into place. The goal is to put everything you have into jumpstarting your savings so you can get some momentum towards some real wealth creation. That $1,000 will be the start of your security fund. It goes in the checking account you use to pay your must-haves, where it always stays just in case. This is the money that makes sure you can manage life's little ups and downs. You can call on it if you blow a tire on the interstate or if the kids hit a baseball through the sliding glass door. This is the money that keeps you from turning back to credit cards whenever anything goes wrong. It is okay to spend this money when you need it. Just be sure to build it right back up the next time you get paid. The $1,000 not only creates a cushion for your life, it can also do something more. It can make money for you. The $1,000 is there so you never ever pay another bounced check fee. With a $1,000 buffer in the bank, there will be no more return checks because you accidentally paid the electric bill before your paycheck cleared. You'll be able to pay your bills right on time each and every month, and that means no more extra charges from the electric company, Visa, your landlord, or anyone else. No more late fees of any kind. So that's a smart way to manage your money. Best of all, a cushion of $1,000 is the start of your relaxation money. You can stop checking your bank account balance every day, waiting on pins and needles for your paycheck to clear. You can stop holding your breath while you wait to see how fast the rent check gets deposited. Once you get ahead a little, you can pay your bills when it is convenient for you without all the fuss. You can be confident that you have created enough cushion to manage if your paycheck is a couple of days late or the gas bill is a little high. So ease back. No more biting your nails until the end of the month. No more waking up at 3 a.m. worrying whether you get the mortgage payment in on time. No more stress from the payments part of life. It's time to relax a little. Sounds good? It should. Now we'll look at stage two. Stage two is the payoff stage. That's all the steal from tomorrow debt. Once you've saved the $1,000, it is a time to focus on paying off your steal from tomorrow debt. While you are in stage two of your lifetime savings plan, take all your 20% and put it toward paying off that debt, following the personal debt repayment plan you created in this program. Don't worry about saving for any other purpose, and don't worry about how long it will take you to get out of debt. The point is that one day you will get rid of your debt, steal from tomorrow debt, that is. Once your debt is paid off, you'll have laid the groundwork on which you can start building your lifetime savings plan. Once you've paid off your steal from tomorrow debt, that is all of them, you'll be ready to move on to stage three, where the heavy duty savings begins. And we'll start going over stage three in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.